reported out of committee. Senate Bill 5505, Department of Corrections. Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you. This is the budget bill for the Department of Corrections. The agency has two primary functions, incarceration and delivery of related programs for nearly 14,000 inmates in the 13 prison facilities, and the community corrections program, which is responsible for over 35,000 offenders across the state. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends a 2007-2009 budget for the Department of Corrections of $1.27 billion general fund and $1.31 billion total funds. This budget assumes continued growth in the prison population of over 4% during the 2007-2009 and a community corrections population growth rate of over 2%. This budget was updated based on April 2007 forecast. Mental health programs are enhanced by over $4 million general fund, adding over 30 positions across the prison system and additional mental health beds at Snake River. Other program improvements include transitional coordinators at designated release facilities, additional funding for cognitive programs, and increased rates to alcohol and drug treatment providers. Resources were also transferred within the agency's budget to provide more funding for the increasing fuel and utility cost. Funding for community corrections grants paid to counties is recommended at $227.1 million, representing a 19% increase over last biennium. Caseload growth and inflation are factored into this amount for the entire 2 years of the biennium. In addition, the budget assumes the implementation of new rates on July 1, 2008, based in part on actual cost study and county supervision costs. The budget includes funding to make the first major investment in years to address over $50 million in deferred maintenance needs across the prison system. Over $20 million is provided through a combination of certificates of participation, resources, and general fund. The budget also includes resources to begin planning for the next major prison to meet the growing prison population. This new facility, most likely located in Junction City, is scheduled to open in 2012. Savings were generated in this budget by adjusting the debt service needs based on more up-to-date information, reducing new administrative and other staff positions included in the governor's budget. Salary and equipment purchases for the new Madras facility is scheduled to open September of this year, and delaying the use of federal funds until 2007-2009 that are scheduled to be received before the end of this fiscal year. In addition, there is an undesignated reduction of over $11 million. This is similar to reductions included in agency budgets for the past two biennium. The reduction will primarily be taken as savings from vacant positions. Two budget notes are included as part of the recommended budget. The first instructs the agency to consider using community-based organizations in providing cognitive programs. The second requires a work group be convened by the Department of Administrative Services to develop a proposal for the 2009-11 budget cycle to create long-term deferred maintenance funding plans for agencies that own or manage their own facilities. A further budget note is recommended to be included in the capital construction bill requiring the Department of Corrections and Human Services to report on their joint efforts in planning and site design for the Junction City site, since it has been designated as a site for both a state prison and a new state hospital. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 5505 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. This question could be to the carrier, could be for professional staff.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
For either. In the policy package 113, policy option package 113, the title of that package is Sex Offender Pre-Release Program. Are we certain in that program that that is not an actual pre-release, or that that program releases someone early?
I think that's a question for you.
Mr. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, members of the committee, Madam Co-Chair, Representative Hanna. There is no early release contemplated at all in that. That would take a change in sentencing laws, which you I don't think can do in a budget bill. That particular package, as passed by the subcommittee, includes $150,000 for sex offender treatment after, generally after they are released. The Department of Corrections will do an assessment, determine which are good candidates for this pilot program, pass in information onto the parole board. Parole board may include that in their sort of release papers, and then it is up to the county corrections programs to whether or not they go forward with those instructions from the parole board. This allows funding for this type of special type of sex offender treatment, but there is no early release as a result of this.
Thank you, Mr. Follow-up. As you described, this is a treatment program after release. So who does the $150,000 pay for the drug treatment for the offender, or do they pay for their own treatment?
Madam Co-Chair and Representative Hanna, under this, it's my understanding that this will pay the department, probably through contracts with either local counties or providers directly, will pay for the drug treatment of the model as well as monitoring. And my understanding is this treatment, generally a monitoring, takes place for approximately 6 months.
Also, by way of additional information, the statute also allows for those that are able to pay for their own treatment to do so.
Through insurance or privately.
Two more quick things just on this, and I'll probably brief. The folks that are participating are pre-selected. Can they decline to participate in the program?
Madam Co-Chair, Representative Hanna, I'm not completely sure of that. It is written in as a condition of their parole, probation, or post-supervision by the parole board. If they can find a physician, it's my understanding, that can take, that will administer the drug and do the follow-up monitoring, they may be required to. I would have to check on that.
But, Mr. Wilson, this bill doesn't affect that decision.
Madam Co-Chair, that is right. It provides funding for a pilot program to enable that this treatment can be undertaken in three pilot counties.
This bill would just provide the money. It doesn't set the policy parameters. That's elsewhere in statute and rule.
Follow-up, Madam Co-Chair. Sure. My concern here is that it appears that we're setting a precedent by putting a policy issue into a budget bill, and we had very little discussion about the effectiveness of this type of treatment, and so it just brings about the question. Thank you.
Senator Berger. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I just need some clarification from staff, if they would. The wireless system for the equipment at Coffee Creek and Snake River is at a cost of $6.5 million. That's with certificates of participation. That is in excess of anything that OWIN would ask for in their wireless system.
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Berger, that is right. These are the systems that are used within the prison. It's actually the antennas go inside the prison. All OWIN is really communications across the state. Most of this money would be purchasing the handheld radios that are used by the security officers and other staff, in this case in Coffee Creek and Snake River. They plan to make it OWIN compatible, but it doesn't replace or supplant any of the OWIN dollars that are required.
Thank you very much. Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Madam Co-Chair, I'm concerned that the community corrections have not received sufficient funding in this budget. Considering the financial plight of many of Oregon's counties, this community corrections budget will almost certainly result in more counties deciding to return their community corrections operations to the state. Many of our rural counties are in financial crisis. This budget largely ignores that reality, unfortunately, and I will not be supporting this budget. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Shields.
Just to discuss the point brought up by Senator Woodson, I just wanted to mention that the committee did express concerns about the community corrections budget, and we've also grappled with whether or not we, given the constraints of the budget with education, human services, other competing needs, what we've done with this budget is increase it beyond kind of the regular cost of living adjustment, or however you would characterize it, by an additional $13 million instead of the full $25 million that was asked for in the cost study. So then the next policy question was, do we do it all at once, or do we do it, or do we phase it in, or do we do it in kind of rough steps that would begin halfway through the biennium? And what the counties have suggested to us, some of them at least, is that it would be better to go halfway through so that then this becomes part of the essential budget level in the next biennium, rather than having to come back and do another policy option package.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Senator Wilson.
If I could, to further the comments of Chair Shields, and specifically to Senator Woodson's comments, I share some of your concerns. I think we all do. But one of the policy substantive bills that is going working its way through the process, and I have every confidence will pass, that the counties and in particular the sheriffs were very pleased with, was that for the first time we will statutorily require a reshoot of these costs on a periodic basis. I can't remember the exact timeline. It's every
6 years.
6 years. That was very satisfactory to the community corrections people, and that's been an ongoing battle since we passed 1145 in 1995, and it's the first time they've ever statutorily had that ability to look at true cost on a regular basis. So with that comment and that perspective, that is very significantly supported by the community corrections folks, I would urge and I vote on this budget.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objections? Representative Hanna, Representative Garrard, Senator Witzek. Motion carried. Thanks. Senate Bill 5535, Public Defense Services Commission. Senator Winters, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5535 is the budget bill for the Public Defense Services Commission. The commission is responsible for providing representation for eligible persons at trial and in the appellate courts. The agency is primarily supported with general fund. The agency retains $668,870 in other funds revenue from the $20 application fee and contribution amount that is paid by persons seeking public defense services in the trial courts. The total budget is $213.6 million and 63.25 FTE. This is an increase of $856,302 general fund above the budget recommended by the governor, and $2.7 million general fund above the essential budget level. The agency had requested $29 million for hourly rate and contractor salary adjustments. Issues include difficulty in obtaining legal services at a compensation rate of $40 per hour for most cases and $55 per hour for death penalty cases, and the difficulty for private nonprofit public defender agencies in recruiting and retaining attorneys at salaries that are 25% to 30% below the district attorney counterparts. The budget includes $2.7 million general fund to enable PDSC to increase the hourly rate from $55 to $60 per hour for death penalty cases and increase the hourly rate for all other cases from $40 to $45 per hour. This will also enable the agency to partially close the prosecutor public defender salary gap by approximately 1/6. The budget includes an essential budget level adjustment of $9 million general fund that will enable the agency to maintain service levels in future budgets. This adds an appellate-mandated caseload adjustment comparable to the adjustment in the Department of Justice and adds a personal services adjustment for contract services to reflect the actual cost for service providers. The subcommittee approved the performance measures with the recommendation that the agency review the measures and set realistic but aggressive performance targets. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5535 as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there discussion? Representative Berard.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I had a discussion with my district attorney in Klamath County. And for the past over 10 years, we have been funding public defense at a much higher rate than we have our district attorneys. And according to the information I was given, it's almost on a 5-to-1 ratio that public defenders have received more money than our district attorneys have. So I don't know if there's someone who can answer that question to give a little better picture of just where we are putting our money.
Thanks for that question. Ms. Lamont?
Madam Co-Chair and Representative Gerard, I think we are comparing apples and oranges here. Public defense services are fully funded by the state. District attorney services are only partially funded by the state. I believe, and I'm not the analyst for the DAs, but I believe that the state funds the district attorney's salary plus a supplement for, I'm not sure how many of the other DAs can. And so the gap that you're probably talking about is the source of the funding for those programs, not the salaries.
Follow up? The counties do pay a certain portion of the district attorney's expenses and salaries. Could you tell me what the difference on an hourly rate is presently between a representative of the district attorney's office versus a public defender with the passing of this bill?
He has the answer. He wants to be called on.
Just a minute, Ms. Lamont.
I would defer to you.
If I had the table before me and I could get it for Representative Berard, the average deputy district attorney is paid significantly more than the average public defender. Probably on the magnitude of at least 1.5 times more in terms of experience. But the issue that I think Ms. Lamont brought up with the deputy district attorneys and why this is like comparing apples to oranges, because all that we have ever paid for is the base salary of the 36 district attorneys. We have made adjustments in their salaries, and I think we will continue to do that. At one time, we did provide DA supplements. Those went away for a few bienniums. My understanding is there are DA supplements back into this that helps them somewhat within the DA's budget. My understanding from our discussions that that's there. A long time ago, we did give them a little bit of money for witness fees. But it is literally apples to oranges. DA services are primarily a locally paid function, and just like anything, I'd pick up full DA costs next week if they take indigent defense.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Shields.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. To the good representative from Klamath Falls, I just happened to find in my bill file comparison on the public defender's starting salaries versus the district attorney's starting salaries. I'd be happy to get it to you. But just as an example, in Multnomah County, a public defender's starting salary is $38,899. In the district attorney's office in Multnomah County, it's $53,220.
Thank you, and if you could provide the other detail.
And if I may,
Senator Westman.
Madam Chair, there is no comparison. Regrettably, there is no comparison. It's not even close. You take the three legs of our judicial stool, if you will, the judiciary, district attorneys, and public defenders. The skinniest leg by far is the public defenders. And while they're outright compensation is significantly lower. The other great injustice in this is that they are private contractors and do not receive the benefits that the district attorney's office receives. My good friend, there is no comparison, and this body is remiss in not addressing this. With the additional funds we put into the public defender's office, it raises their average salary statewide from $40 an hour to $43.50. You know, their average case, you know, costs round number $75 an hour, and of course murder cases are much higher. You know, they, as do some of our physicians, and the analogy is exactly the same. For them to be able to afford to do public defense, they have to go out and get outside law contracts. There is no comparison.
Further discussion? Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The good news is that just discussed by the Senator from Tumalo. The bad news is the subcommittee also limited the juvenile dependency representation package. And we heard a great deal of testimony about the inefficiencies and lack of representation in a timely manner there. We also heard a great deal of testimony about the hiring and retention of the folks in the public defender's office having the rates so dramatically different. And it just seems unacceptable that we couldn't close that gap more. And you can understand why the folks that are there simply don't stay long, so they have a high level of turnover, and keeping quality folks is a real difficulty for them. I will not be supporting this budget for a number of those reasons.
Thank you. Any further discussion?
Just a comment, Madam.
Senator Winters, yes.
When the good senator from Tolo talked about no comparison, he's absolutely correct, not only on the rates for the public defender as well as what we provide for district attorneys, but you will also see, if we haven't already done it, and I was not here last week, the judicial system. I think we do have a tremendous imbalance when we look at what we have done in the past and trying to make up for those shortfalls, and we had tremendous discussion in our subcommittee about where we are in our other branch of government and how we are ranking at the 50th in the nation. And that we are working, trying to rebuild. None of these categories that we talk about this morning or in the future that relates to the judicial system is where I think the committee would like to be. However, having said that, you know, a lot of work was done on this budget given the constraints that we have. Also, with respect to the juvenile dependency package, we did have vigorous discussion about it, and the request was, should there become anywhere in this process between now and the time that we adjourn, that particular piece be looked at with favorable from the co-chairs for replenishing those dollars. We were very passionate to our subcommittee chair about that particular issue. So with that, I would ask for it, I hope.
And that message has been delivered, Senator. Any further discussion? Any objections? Representative Garrard, Representative Hanna, Senator Woodsett. Motion carries. Senate Bill 5539, Real Estate Agency. Senator Johnson, please.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. The Oregon Real Estate Agency is responsible for the licensing, education, and enforcement of Oregon's real estate laws. Your Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends a budget of $7,790,247 other funds and 31.62 FTE. The recommended budget continues two limited duration positions established by the Emergency Board to meet ongoing workload demands. The recommended budget also includes additional expenditure limitation for improvements in the agency's web-based business offerings, including online licensing and renewals and search engines used by customers. The subcommittee recommends the newly designated real estate commissioner, on the job since May 7th, and here in the audience with us, designee Gene Bentley, have the opportunity to review and recommend changes to the agency's requests related to improving the education for licensees and agency personnel. The agency may return to the emergency board or to the Ways and Means Committee to request appropriate resources for these purposes. The subcommittee recommends a budget note in conjunction with the commissioner designee's review of the agency requested the agency's request related to additional resources to support education improvements. The budget note directs the agency to explore cost-effective alternatives to in-person compliance reviews of each real estate and property management firm. The 2006 Joint Interim Task Force on Real Estate Agency Oversight convened to review operations and activities of the agency. The task force findings resulted in a number of recommendations, including legislation to change the agency's board from an advisory capacity to a policymaking capacity. Because of timing and other issues, the legislation failed to mature this session. But in order not to lose the good work of the 2006 interim task force, the subcommittee recommends a budget note to create a second interim task force on a real estate agency for the purpose of crafting legislation pursuant to the recommendations made in the final report of the 2006 Joint Interim Task Force on Real Estate Agency Oversight. The subcommittee recommends that performance measures be adjusted in consultation with the agency's board and the legislative fiscal officer to better reflect outcomes related to compliance with financial procedures, investigations, and applicant testing so that public protection is maintained. Finally, the subcommittee recommends a 2005-2007 supplemental appropriation of $50,957 other funds for unanticipated cost. The Ways and Means Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development recommends Senate Bill 5539 be amended and reported out due pass as amended.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. One last bill. Colleagues, adopting a conflict amendment, Senate Bill 58, Senator Johnson.
Thank you. Senate Bill 58 requires application and renewal fees of qualified arbitrators included on the list of arbitrators maintained by the Employment Relations Board. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means previously approved this bill, and it has passed the Senate. The bill needs to be amended because of conflicts with House Bill 2070A, a bill which establishes a new account for the Employment Relations Board. The amendment is technical in nature, specifying that fees charged in SB 58 are to be deposited into the new account. The amendment does not make any substantive changes to the bill. I recommend the -1 conflict amendment to SB 58 be approved and the measure be reported out, due pass as amended.
Thank you, Senator. Is there any discussion? Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I've cast a negative vote on the floor of the Senate, and I will today. Reflecting on this, it seems to be to charge a $100 fee just to stay on a list once you have qualified seems to me to express a rather cavalier approach to assessing fees. And so for that reason, I'll be on the vote.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Any objections? Senator Morris, Senator Whitsitt, Representative Hannah, Representative Garrard. Motion carries. Thank you. We're adjourned.